This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. This is the first in a series of weekly election specials focusing on races that affect western Wisconsin. In this hour, we're focusing on the 31st State Senate District, which includes all of Buffalo and Trempealeau counties, Monroe and Jackson counties, and the southern part of Eau Claire County. Wisconsin State Senator Kathleen Vinehout is finishing her first term in Madison. The Alma Democrat is facing a challenge from the younger brother of former Governor Tommy Thompson, former Tomah Mayor and small business owner Ed Thompson, who announced this week that he's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. They're being questioned in this hour by our moderator, Dick Mile. He's a former La Crosse Tribune political reporter. He begins the conversation by asking Kathleen Vinehout what her campaign is all about.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I spent the weekend in Arcadia with the floods and working through the problems that people had with the flooding. I was reminded of how important it was to have a government that's efficient and effective, but is there and is well-funded. And we all want our communities to be strong and vibrant, and this election is about how we get there. Do we want a quality education system, or do we want to privatize education? Do we want affordable health care or not? Do we want our teenagers to have affordable college tuition? And do we want a growing economy, or do we want to send our jobs to China or to India? And to grow our economy in a world economy, we have to have a strong education system. And when people talk about cutting taxes, education is on the top of the list because education makes up 49% of our general tax dollars. And you can't grow an economy or have a brighter future if our kids are lagging behind, or if our farmers can't afford health care, or if our communities are not safe, or our transportation system is falling behind. When I think about the way I want to be remembered, I hope that my grandkids are able to say, you know, they had a really difficult budget, it was a difficult economy, but they made wise choices and wise investments, and I wouldn't dream of living anywhere else but Wisconsin.
Okay, Ed, tell us why you're running and what you hope to achieve.
Well, Dick, I'm a mayor of a small community, Tomah, Wisconsin, and I was very fiscally conservative. And as I've watched what's going on in the state of Wisconsin, I'm just abhorred by the spending and by the budget, by the $2.5 billion budget that was out there. I think that it's time that we cut the spending and lower the taxes and get jobs back in the state of Wisconsin. The last 4 years, we've lost over 170,000 jobs in the state of Wisconsin. General Motors, Gardner Denver from Sheboygan, Polaris, Parker Penn from Janesville, and they haven't went to other countries. They went to surrounding states. They went to Illinois. They went to Michigan. There's no reason for that because the state of Wisconsin has the best workforce in the world. But it's this tax climate, this spin climate, and we have a $2.5 billion budget deficit. We've taken the money from the transportation fund, and now the interest that we're paying on that loan alone is over 25% just on the transportation loan that we've raided, over $200 million. So my point is that regardless of what it is, we have to look at every department. We have to be concerned with every single part of government, and we have to get the cost of government down. And we have to quit this incredible spending because we're spending our grandchildren. You know, I too am very concerned about my grandchildren. I have 4 children and 8 grandchildren, and 3 of my children are teachers. I have a great concern about that. But one thing I do know in my life, when you have debt, you don't have freedom. And to me, freedom is the most important thing. And I'm talking about personal freedom. And the debt that's being passed on to our generations and our future generations is abhorrible. And that, to me, is the worst thing we can do to our children and our grandchildren. So for those reasons that I'm running for the state Senate.
How do we deal with the deficit, and how do we get done the things that need to get done while cutting to eliminate the deficit? Kathleen, what would you do?
Well, 2 years ago, we faced a very difficult situation. The state faced a $6.6 billion budget deficit. Today, as Ed said, we face an estimated $2.7, which is a little less than $4 billion less. So even in a deep recession, we solved a much larger problem with a balanced approach, and I think we can do that again. My opponent has suggested that he would have not supported $5 billion in the previous budget. But he's never said how he's going to do this. There's only so many places you can go to find $5 billion. 80% of our general tax dollars go to five things: schools, healthcare, courts and corrections, universities, and local government. If you took $1 billion out of schools, it would be roughly $1,150 per person, or $3.6 million out of the Tomah schools. And you know, Tomah has had a difficult time balancing its budget, like many of our schools. A billion dollars out of local government would mean $1 million from the city of Tomah, and $1.3 million from the county. And Monroe County has been in difficult straits trying to balance its budget. And all these cuts, if you cut state dollars, end up adding to the burden of local property taxpayers. We do agree that we need to run programs effectively and efficiently. And the fastest growing program right now is the Medicaid program. It takes up 20% of the state budget, and it's growing at a rate of 20% a year. Now, I proposed a plan to increase the quality of care and to reduce the costs of the Milwaukee Medicaid program. And these changes that were eventually implemented saved us an estimated $59 million. I also co-chair the Senate side of the Committee on Audit, the Joint Committee on Audit. And the state's SHARES program led to changes, and our audit of the state SHARES program led to changes that saved an estimated $100 million. It's these type of efforts that I'll continue if I'm reelected. And as to paraphrase Everett Dirksen, $10 million here and $10 million there add up to real money.
These are programs that have become more efficient and save money. Are you going to be able to balance the budget solely on things like that, or will there be things that have to be cut? And if so, what would those be?
Well, one of the first programs that I would start with is a program that I voted against to begin with. It was a program that the governor talked about called Badger Basic, which was a state-run health insurance program that was, I believe, misconceived and undercapitalized. This is exactly what we should not be doing with the state Medicaid program, which is expanding a program that's already in deep financial crisis. When I set a balanced approach, what I'm looking at is a combination of what we did in the previous budget: direct cuts to programs where we could maximize federal dollars, and we did several things that brought in additional federal dollars that we'll not lose after the recovery dollars are over, and wise in changes in taxes. And some of those changes in taxes have resulted in more income coming into the state just because we're doing a better job at collecting taxes.
Ed, this is really the area that you've kind of staked out in your campaign. What do we do about the deficit? And well, if you're going to make cuts,
first
can you
of
give
all,
us specifics?
That, you know, there's a couple of points that's got to be made here. You know, we're talking about a $14.5 billion deficit if you throw in the hospitals and clinics and the state fair. So that long-term debt, $11.5 billion. And I think, you know, $1 billion, if you make $100,000 a year, it takes 10,000 years to get to $1 billion. So just imagine that. If a man earns $100,000 a year, it takes 10,000 years to get to $1 billion, and we already have a deficit. We have a long-term debt of $14.5 billion. We have a $2.5 billion deficit in this budget, plus $2 billion plugged in from the stimulus money. That's a one-time money. That's not going to be there again. This debt has, and it's been going on, it's not just this time, but it's been going on for the last 8, 9, 10 years. Every year that deficit gets greater and greater and greater. This year, a $2.71 billion deficit, it's the worst we've ever had. As mayor of Tomah, when I became mayor of Tomah, I didn't go in with the ideas of where I was going to cut and how I was going to cut, but I had every department come into me. I said, we have to knock 10% off of this bill. And they said, well, we can't do it. but you can do it, and they did it. You know, for instance, the fire department. You know, they wanted a new fire truck for $500,000. $500,000 that we couldn't afford. So you knock it, you nix it. And that's what you have to do. To say I'm going to knock out all the shared revenue, I lived by shared. We need shared revenue. You know, we surely pay for it. It's our revenue that's sending in there. You know, they knocked 23,000 out of TOMA this last time. So of our shared revenue, and I know, and nobody liked it. But the mandates from the state, they say, and you can cut any place, but you can't cut fire and police. Well, I don't think the state has the right to tell us where we can cut in these small communities. I think the small communities have to make those choices. We have to, and then we have to look at the hard. Every department has to come up and bring in their budget, and they have to show how they can do it less. We cannot continue to grow government at the rate it's growing because it's going to destroy the state, as it's already, you know, they rate Wisconsin even worse proportionally than California at the rate the debt is growing, four times worse per person. That's unconscionable.
Kathleen mentioned the five areas that take up 80% of the budget, and I've heard this from Republicans as well. The big money areas, you know, are university, public education, aid to local governments, health care, and courts and corrections. Any thoughts about where in...
Not one of those are off the table. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them we're going to have to cut back. We have to look at... There's other... In education, you know, there's alternatives out there. There's choice. There's the age of the computers here. We have to be inventive. We have to be able to come up with new ideas of how to do this. It just can't be... You know, it has never improved by throwing more money at it. That is, it seems to be that's where everybody goes. If the way to fix the government or the education is to throw more money at it, then we're doing the wrong thing. So I think we have to come in with different ideas and look at them and look at the alternatives, with corrections the same way, with health care the same way. There's ways to do it. And I haven't explored the possibilities or all the possibilities out there, but I know that as mayor I certainly did, and if I become the state senator, there's nothing that you can take off the table. There's one thing that you can't take off the table, and that's the senior citizen, the care for the senior citizen. And we already wrapped him another $75 a month bed tax of these poor people in the care center. They went from $75 to $150, and they're going to get a hit another $20 a month in January. You know, we can't tax the poorest of the poor and come up with answers. So if there's one person's off the table, that's the senior citizen. But outside of that, there is nothing off the table.
Okay, let's talk about health care in a little more detail. Kathleen, you were involved to a great extent in health care issues. What does the state need to do? What has it done already? And where do we go from here in terms of reducing costs while we're at the same time trying to make sure that we cover people?
I'd like to answer your question on healthcare, but first I'd like to correct a few facts. Our state budget deficit right now is 2.7, and that's a fluid number because we don't know what's going to happen with the economy. It's not $14.5 billion. I think what I was talking about was the deficit.
Long-term debt.
The deficit. The long-term debt
was 14.5.
And if we look
and
at
the short-term deficit is 2.71.
If we look at the long-term debt, 40% of that long-term debt happened in two decisions that were made. One under your brother, under Tommy Thompson, when he borrowed $1.6 billion in 2002 against the tobacco settlement, and the other one happened under Governor Doyle when he borrowed $1.8 billion under unfunded pension liabilities. So this has been a long-standing problem. Yes, it's a problem, but it's also a problem in local government and in state government all across the country. And if you compare our debt service to other states, we are just a tad below the national average, and we are declining in terms of the amount of money, the percent that we're spending on debt service. And then the last thing I wanted to say, just having been through this last budget and a $6.6 billion, is you said $2.7 billion is the worst we've ever had. No, it's not. The worst we've ever had is what we just came out of, which is a $6.6 billion. And today it's $2.7, which is almost $4 billion less.
I would say that second to that is the budget that the Republicans left us, that Governor Doyle inherited, which was $3.1 billion. So no party is immune from having this problem. It's not the Democrats and it's not the Republicans. But when you look at spending, the last time the entire legislature was controlled by Republicans, GPR spending increased 10%. We saw a decrease for the first time ever, the nonpartisan Fiscal Bureau says, of 2.6% when the Democrats control both houses of the legislature. So we need to get the facts straight, first of all.
Kathleen decided to bring Tommy into the issue, so let's talk about that a second. Since Tommy left office in 2001, spending has soared by 38%. And I thought it was way too high then. So if it jumped up 38% since then, that's $3,200 for every man, woman, and child, every man, woman, and child per budget cycle that has soared. That and also here, and I want to make these figures accurate, so I'm not accused of being wrong. According to the Nonpartisan Taxpayers Alliance, it says, true, this year's deficit is the largest ever reported, but it's the fifth consecutive year that it exceeded $2 billion. And one more point, three other states were in the red, according to their statements. Our budget's in the red. It's supposed to be in the black. We're supposed to have a balanced budget, but it's in the red if all this nonsense wasn't. And this is according to the Taxpayers Alliance. Three other states were in the red along with Wisconsin. According to three of them, they were Illinois, Maine, and California. But per person, it was $305 for Maine, $181 for California, and $113 for California. $400 for Wisconsin. That's four times greater than California. And these aren't my figures. These are figures from Todd Berry from Taxpayers Alliance. You can look them over if you'd like.
If one of the areas that's growing by 20% is Medicaid or medical assistance, let's talk about that. How do we get to this position, and where do we go from here?
When we look at the problems that Medicaid is facing, part of what's happened is that Governor Doyle has added people to the Medicaid rolls faster than the state can sustain the number of people. And one of the reasons he did that is because there were no affordable options for people that were in small business and not wealthy. And when you look at the people that are uninsured, half of all those people across the country that are uninsured are either own or work for a small business. So the first step we need to do is something that's been talked about in this state for about 10 years, and that's to give small business the same bulk buying power that large businesses have. And I believe that we can do that. I believe we have an opportunity right now to be able to move the state forward, and I believe that we can make Wisconsin a leader across the country in making insurance affordable, health insurance affordable to small businesses. And that's why I researched and wrote Senate Bill 707 that I introduced late in the session, creating the Small Business Health Options Program. Basically, this plan would give a one-stop shop for small businesses to buy insurance, kind of like Orbitz or Expedia. You would be able to log onto the computer, and an internet site would show you the options that are available to you in your area. And every state would have several options, and they would be ranked based on cost, but they would have to follow quality requirements before they were ever allowed to sell insurance in the state of Wisconsin to small businesses. Rates would be held low by requiring insurance companies to put every employee in a large risk pool to compete on cost and quality. Cost and quality, rather than they do right now, which is avoiding risk. When we think about how to solve this problem, we have an opportunity to solve the problem quicker than 2014 when federal health care goes into effect. And I believe that we should take this opportunity and create the kind of solution to the problem small businesses face and make it Wisconsin's own solution. So the federal government is responding to us rather than us responding to the federal government. And making health insurance affordable is not only great for the employees that are going to be covered and the small businesses, but it's great for our economy because...
What's the status of that now?
Well, the status of the bill is that it was introduced late in the session, and I plan to introduce it as the first bill that I can introduce Lord willing, that I'm reelected.
Ed, how do we deal with health insurance problems? You're a small businessman.
I'm a small businessman. So. That's right, Mr. Miles. And one thing I know, being a small businessman, I can't afford any more money. I have difficult times even now paying taxes. Sometimes I pay them late. Not because I want to draw attention to myself, but for the simple fact that the money isn't there and I have to use the money to keep people working or other things. And those are decisions I've made many times in my life. You know, I'm not a wealthy man. I'm just a common man. All I've ever done in my whole life is work. So when I hear that business doesn't pay us fair share, I shudder, because right now business is the only salvation of bringing people in and getting more jobs. We've lost 170,000 jobs in the last 4 years. Right now, the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development said they are more people working for the government today than they're working in manufacturing. Never in the time, ever in the history of the state has that happened. There's no way that we can pay this off and get health care or get any other kind of program unless you get the money coming in. And how are you going to get the money in when you're chasing companies like General Motors and Gardner Denver out of the state? And not chasing them to foreign countries. We chase General Motors all the way to Michigan. Love to have him back. Parker Penn is in Illinois. You know, Gardner Denver is down in Louisiana. These are huge people that help us. So we need to draw business in. And if you think that USA Today, in May of this year, reported by Moody, a very respectable analysis research, said that the debt in the state of Wisconsin, said that this is the 50th out of 51 worst states for new business to come. Why is that? That's in the USA Today. We're the worst state to attract new jobs because we are taxing them out of the state. And if they are being mandated by the government to pay more, they just won't come. And so we can't do it on the back of government, on the back of business. We have to do it. We have to find new ways to come up with money. And how are they? We have to explore so many different issues, so many different ways. We have to, you know, and tax. We can't tax the people anymore. We've already taxed them off the farm. We can't tax people anymore. They can't pay it.
It's a political conversation in this hour of Newsmakers with the candidates for Wisconsin's 31st state Senate seat, Democratic incumbent State Senator Kathleen Vinehout of Alma, and her Republican challenger, former Toma Mayor Ed Thompson. Our debate continues after we break for the news. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto.